you're back in the DFSR here with our NBA podcast for Wednesday, March 15th. I'm Doug Norrie, sitting in all by my lonesome on a solo podcast today, talking a 10-game NBA slate for this Wednesday. I am from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short, here to help you get started, keep winning on FanDuel or DraftKings. You head over to the site now, you have a free 3-day trial to our projection system. That's powered by Lineup Lab, whose offices I'm sitting in as we speak. That will provide you optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings NBA, hockey projections as well, baseball season coming right down the pike with optimal lineups. So a lot to get your hands on for a price that we think is about as good as in the industry. You try it out free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that, and you are all set to go. 10 games on the slate today with a lot of the value, I think, concentrated between among just a few games. So while there are a lot of games going on here, I'm not seeing... It's weird. Some of the matchups aren't that great. There isn't a ton of injury news. And just my initial thought, there's a couple blowout considerations. And just my initial thought on this is it just doesn't strike me as this amazing group of games. Now, that could change. Things always change throughout the day with injury news coming up and a spot start here and there. And all of a sudden, maybe things really open up. But just my overall feeling, just looking down this list of games and seeing some of just where the higher price guys are coming in at and where, maybe some lack of cheap guys or some guys will likely be chalk. And I'm just, I don't know, just my overall feeling is at this is 9 o'clock Central, so 11 o'clock Eastern time, that I'm just, this doesn't seem like the most exciting 10-game slate in the world, but we will go game by game, breaking down some of the injury things we want to consider, some of the value plays from each game, and where we can start thinking about making lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings tonight. The first game, there's two 7 o'clock games. The first, or one of those two, is the Pacers and the Hornets. So the Hornets looks like Nick Batum is going to sit again today. He's dealing with migraine issues. He's doubtful right now. He didn't play last game, and Jeremy Lamb was about as chalk of a punt play as you can get on really just about any slate. He was something like 80 or 90% start on FanDuel, somewhere around the same range on DraftKings. He took a ton of shots. He took 17 shots on the field. He was great. If Batum did not play again, the price on him did not move enough, at least on FanDuel, to have to avoid him here. Even at 4,900, he sees a pretty dramatic usage increase when Batum is not on the court. We have him down in somewhere in like the 3-4% range. Also, he sees bumps across the board, really. Kemba Walker sees a nice little usage bump as well for the Hornets. He makes a pretty solid play. He's been really good of late. And that's really where it stops in terms of the big effects, the big dramatic effects for the Hornets if Batum doesn't go out there. So I think you see Walker and Lamb as pretty popular plays. The Pacers aren't that great on defense, so you don't really need to worry about it there. The Hornets are slight underdogs here, but you're still getting pretty solid prices on Walker. Even if 8,400, I'm willing to pretty much pay that, I think, with him. And you would see Lamb as a chalk play again, at least on FanDuel. It's a little closer on DraftKings, where the price has come up to about 5,600. So not as clear-cut a play there, but still probably a pretty solid play, even at 5,600, if he's going to shoot 17 times in the game, or even close to that. So that's really where you're getting the value out of the Hornets. You know, the Pacers side, guys like Paul George, he's coming off a pretty big night last night. I don't know if you can totally trust that kind of performance here again, though he's still playing pretty big minutes and taking a lot more shots in the short term. But I'd be concerned, coming on the back-to-back after playing 38 minutes. He played 38 minutes last night against the Knicks. 2 days ago, he played 37. So he's looking at his third game in 4 nights, and he's been playing just huge minutes, 42, 37, 38 in the last three. I don't know if the Pacers are wanting to manage him completely, but because they are sort of in that playoff race, but I'm a little concerned. You see the minutes trend in the wrong direction for George, and that could be trouble at his prices. So he's an interesting play, only 8,100, fair enough points per dollar, I suppose. Not a must play or anything. And then you get Thad Young. Thad Young's coming off huge minutes, but he's got this wrist issue that's clearly bothering him. So he played 37 minutes last night and scored 4 points. So take that what you will. I know if we were to give him 37 minutes in our system, he'd start showing up really in not every lineup, but in a lot of lineups because he's still really cheap. But you have a wrist issue in basketball is a serious problem. And if it's going to affect your shooting or make you unwilling to shoot, which is that's actually what seems to be the case with Young, then he's just a different player than he was earlier in the season, and you really can't trust some of the season-long numbers on him with that kind of issue. The other 7 o'clock game is Washington and Dallas. We typically don't like to target teams against Dallas. They play very slow. They're pretty good on defense, so they're second slowest team in basketball, and they have a top 10 defensive efficiency. That's just really not a recipe for success if you're looking to get just more volume in a game, which is, you know, volume is typically leads to just more ability to score points. It's pretty obvious. You're on, you know, the more possessions you have, the more chances for scoring and rebounding, etc. You don't get that when you play Dallas. That would be my issue with playing really anyone from Washington here, just because the total for them is much lower than their average total on the season. Dallas side, if Wes Matthews were to sit and Nerlens Noel were to sit, they're both questionable right now. That actually would open up a fair amount of minutes, I think, for both the backcourt and the frontcourt guys. I think you'd see more minutes out of Seth Curry. I do think you'd see maybe a minute or two more out of Dirk, possibly Harrison Barnes. I know that's not a one-to-one swap because Noel is more of a center type and Barnes is more of a, you know, a 3-4 type, but I think they do open up some of those frontcourt minutes if Noel is not there, and some of the backcourt, if Wes Matthews isn't there. Maybe it goes to J.J. Brea more than you see go to Curry. But there will be minutes to go around if those guys sit, so we'll keep an ear out on that injury news. And that, you know, outside of that, there's not much I'm excited about in this game. But if those two sit, then I do think that opens up some interesting possibilities on the Dallas side of the ball. 7:30 start, Miami and New Orleans. Dragic is going to play. He claims he's going to play tonight. So he's listed as probable now. He's just listed as playing. So he's back in. You know, we had a chance to grab some value with no Dragic the other night as they played Josh Richardson a ton. That is likely over now. He'll return to the bench. So you're really not getting a great deal on him. And this Miami team, they're facing a New Orleans squad they play pretty slow. And I just don't know if anyone on Miami plays enough, you know, real minutes or trustable minutes, if that's even a word, to warrant being able to play in cash games. So while they've been an interesting team to target because they've had so many injuries this season, they are relatively healthy compared to themselves at this point. And I think when that happens, you just see a lot of guys play 25 to 29 minutes. And really nothing more because they run a pretty deep rotation. So on the Miami side, they just no one plays enough to really get me too excited. And New Orleans is really tough to figure out. You know, they've struggled since Boogie has come over from Sacramento. And then last night, they just go out and just blow out the Blazers by like 30. And so what is the reality with this team? I'm willing to say I just simply don't know. On one hand, do you think starting last night, they start to figure it out. They're able to score with more regularity than they were when Boogie first came over. I'm still not totally willing to trust it. It's hard to figure out exactly where some of their full season stats line up with the new reality of the team. Our system has been liking New Orleans, but mostly because it's having, since that Boogie came over, I think it's had a little bit of trouble discerning what exactly everyone's role is going to be. And I think the Pelicans themselves have had that trouble as well. So this is not the matchup I really want to target them anyway. Miami's another slow team. They're bottom, I think, two or three, no, maybe bottom five in pace and top five in defensive efficiency. Not the matchup you'd really need to take a stab at. Maybe you want to play that 7:30 turbo slate on either site, and that's where you get some of your New Orleans value in there or even some of your Miami. But overall, that's just not necessarily where I want to go. And I still think they're figuring it out. I don't think you can totally trust really any of the Pelicans at their prices in fantasy right now. Boston heads to Minnesota to take on the Timberwolves. They're -6 favorites in another 7:30 game here. You know, Boston's another one of these teams where Thomas plays his minutes and everyone else kind of just plays around 30 minutes a game. And I'm just not really sure you can trust that kind of team makeup in DFS when you're just not getting... You're just not getting super solid minutes out of any of the other starters. Avery Bradley has been on a minutes restriction, so that's been a little bit of an issue. He's playing. I don't think he's going to jump back up into like that 35-minute a game range. Guys like Crowder and Horford basically play 33 minutes, 34 minutes even in close games. Really never that much more than that. They do run deep rotations as well. They'll play basically their whole bench at times if they need to. So Brad Stevens is just that kind of coach. I don't mind the deal that you're getting on Isaiah Thomas. It's okay. It's not great at 8,800. So he just needs to score so much to be able to hit that price. And that can be a tricky situation when you kind of need a guy at 8,800 to be able to pitch in almost everywhere. He's fine with the assists, though far from elite there. And he's, like I said, most of his value is wrapped up in the scoring. So he's just not doing enough of the other stuff. He'll throw in a steal here or there. That doesn't rebound at all. And for 8,800, that means you need him to jack up a ton of shots. Not sure Minnesota is totally the matchup to do that in. And the rest of the Boston squad is just kind of meh for me because, like I said, they play pretty deep rotations. Minnesota, they do the opposite. They play all of their starters all of the minutes. But that has made their prices pretty fair prices on guys like Karl-Anthony Towns, guys like Ricky Rubio, who's been really good in the short term. Andrew Wiggins has struggled, but actually the price hasn't even come down that much on him. He's still over 7,000 on FanDuel. And even at 37 to 38 minutes for most of those guys, you're looking at fair pricing. And I'm just not sure what you want to, if you want to go there. When I say fair pricing, I mean, in DFS, most people understand this concept, but in DFS, you're looking for the place where the sites have mispriced a guy because of new opportunity or increased opportunity or for whatever reason, their ownership had been low over the short term, and now the price has dropped a little bit. That's not the case with the Timberwolves. It really hasn't been the case for a while, just because they play their guys all the minutes. And when that happens, the prices get pretty much set where they should be relative to their performance. I do like them for tournaments, because I do think people will have a little bit of trouble playing them in this matchup because of the pricing. So you want to stack guys like Rubio, Isaiah Thomas, and maybe Karl-Anthony Towns together in a tournament. I do think that's, that could be have a highly correlated high-end outcome. But in terms of cash games, I probably would hesitate to pay up for really any of these guys on this night. So that's my overall feeling about the Timberwolves. I feel like I say the same thing about them every time that they kind of creep up into the conversation, but that's just been the case with them for a while, and it stands to reason that until Tibbs plays the starters less minutes or they go through some kind of downswing, which there simply might not even be enough time in the season for that to happen, they're just going to be stuck at the prices, and that's just the way it's going to be. The third 7:30 game is Utah and Detroit. This game is almost completely a no thanks for me. This one, I like watching basketball. I'm not sure I'd watch this one. Utah, they can be okay to watch when they play another high-powered team in the way that they can sort of shut other teams down and grind it to a halt, and that can be sort of a chess match kind of thing. This is not that kind of game. They are playing another slow, pretty boring team to watch in Detroit. You don't need to ever really target anyone against the Jazz, like anyone in this case, anyone from the Pistons. The Jazz are still without Derek Favors, though they haven't really increased anyone's minutes to any big degree where, they started Diao last game. He only really played around 20. They played the bench guys a little bit more. Joe Johnson's still playing around 28 minutes, but really the Utah side of the ball, I'm not that interested either. Rodney Hood hasn't seen enough minutes to warrant a play, even probably at his pretty cheap price. He's only 4,300, but he only played 20-something minutes last game and 21 the game before. And both of those, it wasn't like either one of those were blowouts. Or excuse me, one was a blowout, one wasn't. Three games in the 8 o'clock hour. The first and probably least exciting of the bunch is Memphis and the Bulls. The Bulls are pretty much a complete and total disaster mess right now. They had lost six in a row before beating the Hornets last game. Mo I would say I was this was almost a complete skip for me, just because I wasn't liking really either side. There are a couple interesting pieces here. So one is that Rondo started last game and he played a ton of minutes. He was actually very good from a fantasy perspective, and they won. The Bulls have just a ton of point guards. They all stink, but if they can just, maybe if this incentivizes Hoiberg to be like, oh, we won a game with Rondo at the point, then you could see him play 33 to 35 minutes again. And he played 36 in that game. And then even against Memphis, I think he actually is a pretty solid points per dollar deal if you think he's going to play 35 minutes. I don't think that's anywhere close to a guarantee with this team, just because they've been all over the place with this very specific position. They have not been able to figure out what they want to do. I mean, that's what happens when you have lots of bad options. You don't know what to do with these options, so you kind of, you shuffle around the deck chairs in the Titanic a little bit. But if you think Rondo is going to play 35 minutes, then at 5,600, even against Memphis, I actually don't mind the deal. So we'll keep an ear out for that. I think we probably end up hearing about that news early in the day, because the Bulls have been pretty good about releasing information, I think. So I think no one else to me really is interesting on the Bulls side. Chandler Parsons is out for the rest of the season for the Grizzlies, and they actually started Vince Carter last game, and he was great. He played 30 minutes, scored a bunch. I think he probably ends up starting again. He went 24, 4, 5, and 2 with 3 steals. That is definitely the high, very, very high end of expectation you can get on Carter. But he's been decent points per minute this season when he's even come off the bench. He just hasn't played a ton. If he's going to be a starter for this team, and I think that probably sticks, then he actually is a really good deal on FanDuel at 3,900. I think you could see him as one of the possibly more popular plays just because it's a relatively known commodity. He's coming very cheap, and it allows you to fit just some other pieces around it at a position where, I don't know, there isn't the safest group of players. So, you know, guys like Conley, guys like Gasol, they're okay in this matchup, but I do like the Vince Carter deal that you're getting, especially on FanDuel. Though he's 4,000 on DraftKings as well, and that's a nice punt play price. Typically right around in the range we're often looking for on DraftKings to get to just get one of those cheaper plays in to smooth out some of the salary concerns that you have on DraftKings. So Carter, a nice deal over there. That's really where mostly I'm interested from the Memphis and Chicago game. Rondo, if you think he plays. Vince Carter, if he starts again. The second 8 o'clock game is the Spurs and the Trailblazers. The Spurs also are without LaMarcus Aldridge still. He looks like he's going to be out for a while. And that does open up a lot of opportunity for guys like David Lee. Kawhi Leonard gets a definite usage bump. We have him for a few percentages higher when Aldridge is off the court this season. You see Gasol coming up, peeking his head up even off the bench. He just needs to kind of get minutes to be able to hit value. That's the only thing you're concerned there. They also could be again without Tony Parker, which would open up Patty Mills as another great play. This is all to say there is a lot of value to be had on the Spurs side of the ball. The issue, of course, is, okay, are they going to blow out the Trailblazers to start? So they're minus 11 right now. That is getting into the zone of where you would be very worried about just guys like Leonard and Mills and Lee, really just about everybody playing significantly less minutes than usual because the game's over by the fourth. Like the Blazers are coming off getting romped by the Pelicans last night. They're not a very good team, and you could see this game getting out of hand. That's my major concern with the Spurs. I basically like five of the guys going here tonight. Like, you know, specifically Lee at power forward, having to play two power forwards. He's only 4,800. 30 minutes out of him is more than enough against a weak Blazer front court. Same with Kawhi, if you think he's going to play 37 to 38 minutes. It's just that you're just not going to maybe be able to totally trust that side. So that's my concern with the Spurs. I would love to start a bunch of these guys. I would love to believe that the Blazers could keep the game close. It's just very difficult to believe that with the Blazer squad. They've been really struggling. And if last night was any indication, I mean, you can't take one night and transpose it onto the next game for sure. But this is also the Spurs. They're an excellent team. And you could really run into problems here. So Lee, Kawhi, Mills, possibly Gasol. Gasol's a slightly better deal on DraftKings. You are looking at decent value with the little caveat, the little asterisk to say that if you're worried about blowout risk and you're worried these guys play, 10 to 15% less minutes than they usually do, then you could be kind of in trouble at those prices. So that's the thing we'll be trying to evaluate. And speaking of blowout, the other one that we're really concerned about here. And it's such a shame, too, because this is where we would get – I would love to play almost all of the Rockets in this matchup against the Lakers, but they're 17.5-point favorites, and that's just a huge issue. 17.5 is about as high a line as you've ever seen a basketball game. If you are using Vegas to figure out blowout risk, which I think is a reasonable proxy, there's a solid enough correlation between what Vegas says is going to happen and the reality of what's going to happen. Look, it's not – you can compare it to the weatherman where, you're supposed to get 12 inches on the ground and you get 2 and everyone screams to the weatherman for being wrong again. But in a probabilistic society or a probabilistic game, 17.5-point favorites really suggest that this game is going to be well over by the time they hit the fourth quarter. And that's your concern with every single guy in the Rockets. So look, Harden is a fantastic play. Gordon, great. Ariza, Anderson, well, not so much Anderson, but everyone on the Rockets is in play here, and if you think the game stays close, then you really could hit a ton of upside. But at minus 17.5, minus 17, 18, wherever it ends up landing, it's simply probably too much to risk in cash games, though that will be something we'll take a hard look as the day goes on. And the Lakers side, I mean, who knows with this team? They're trying to lose on purpose, so they're in a good spot going in here to be able to have this game be well out of hand, really, before it even gets started. They didn't start D'Angelo Russell last game. They started Jordan Clarkson. You could see Clarkson play a lot again. They're without Timothy Mozgov. Zubac played 30 minutes last game. If you think these things are the reality and you think that this is where they end up, you know, landing on some of their minutes, I do think you're getting a pretty solid deal on them. Though even guys like Zubac, his price came up to $5,300 on DraftKings. He's not exactly a fantastic deal there anymore. He's up to $5,000 on FanDuel. Again, not a good deal, not a great deal. If you think he plays 30 minutes, he's a great deal. If you think he plays 25 or 20, then you're really in trouble. And that's the story with the Lakers. You just simply cannot trust what Luke Walton's plan is. You can't trust any team that's trying to lose on purpose because they're trying to lose. And so this is where we end up falling. I do think I have Zubac at 25 minutes right now. It probably is a little bit low. He's probably going to be a fairly popular play because people will look at that last game and think that's the new reality. But I would definitely tell people to just take a look back through the Lakers game logs and take a look at how they deploy their minutes, and you will know that really no one on that team is ever safe. Speaking of things that aren't safe, the Suns take on the Kings. Both of these teams are in lose now mode also, and so that's just another one where random guys sit, some guys don't play, some guys are active but don't play, the starting lineups switch around. If you can hear my frustration, it's because trying to figure these teams out on a night-to-night basis is nearly and completely impossible. The Suns have just been a total dartboard trying to figure them out. Derek Jones doesn't play all year. He starts last game. Guys like Chandler and Knight just don't play anymore. Allen Williams doesn't start, plays the most minutes off the bench. You try to figure this team out and then call me when you do, and we'll give you a free membership if you can highly correlate their minutes on a night-to-night basis, for an extended like 4 to 5 game run. I challenge you to be able to do that. I don't think it's totally possible. I do think Allen Williams is still a pretty good deal. His minutes seem fairly safe off the bench. He's been fantastic points per minute. Maybe that's not sustainable over the long term. It's kind of hard to know. I always do get a little worried about guys when they are still locked into a bench role, because even though Alex Len sat out last game, it wasn't like Williams just swapped into the starting lineup for him. They went with a super small starting lineup and were able to get what they wanted and lose to the Blazers. You could see Jones start again. You could see Len come back and start. I mean, maybe they shift Williams 1 point into the starting lineup. Who knows what they're planning on doing with this squad. I don't actually mind Devin Booker. His minutes do trend toward the higher side of all the other guys. His minutes aren't necessarily safe, but he will actually get run. So, he played 41 minutes last game. TJ Warren will end up in the mid-30s. But this is all to say, the Suns are a difficult team to try to figure out. Williams is still a points per dollar play at center. It'd be close between him and Zubac. I think I'd probably go the latter just because he's cheaper, and maybe they play around the same minutes tonight. And if you think that's the case, then it's fine to just save $700 on FanDuel and go with the maybe equally as risky but slightly less expensive guy. And the rest of the Suns, maybe throw Booker in there, but it's just hard on a night to night basis to figure that team out. And the Kings are the same way. I mean, who knows? Evans didn't play last game. They sat a bunch of guys. They sat Aflalo last game. Lawson sat for rest. Both of those two guys should be back here tonight. That means they're going to just have more personnel to deploy and play, 29 minutes. I don't mind Willie Cauley-Stein here. His minutes have been fairly safe in the short term as they've been getting him more extended looks at power forward. He's still a pretty good deal on FanDuel. In that mid 5,000s range, which I think you can stomach. He's 5,500 against a weaker defensive Phoenix squad. So you might end up seeing him as maybe not a chalk play, but a pretty popular play. Maybe you play David Lee and Cauley-Stein together there, and you get a pretty solid points per dollar floor, I think, considering how much they're going to play and the respective matchup. So do like Cauley-Stein. Don't love a lot really what else is going on with the Kings, because they're another team that just is happy to just run their guys 29 minutes and just get out of the game and hope to lose. Final game is the Clippers and the Bucks. Chris Paul had been struggling over the short term. He'd been on a 6 or 7 game run of just really, really underperforming. Last two games, he's been able to turn it around, been playing mid-30s minutes, went for 45 fantasy points against Philly, and then 50, just about 52 against the Jazz in a really impressive performance. It's one of these things where if you make snap judgments about short-term performance, you can kind of screw yourself up. Now, the Clippers had played in these games that were sort of just all over the place. There was some blowouts thrown in there. He had randomly played a few less minutes here and there. If you think that CP3 is a 35-minute per game guy, and the Clippers are still trying to win, so I think that's a fair assessment on him. He's a decent, if not great, value on both sites. Same with Blake Griffin. They've been playing him in minutes in the high 30s, pretty much on lock game to game. He's probably a little bit underpriced at 8,800. He's kind of in that Chris Paul territory of just hasn't been that good, though. So in those two games where Paul was great, Griffin only scored 26 fantasy points against Utah, 38 against Philly, 40 against Memphis the game before. None of that is getting it done at an 8,800 price. So I'm a little worried of just about the consistency with him. Not sure exactly what's going on, but that is a concern. DeAndre Jordan has a nice matchup against a Bucks front court that doesn't have a ton of size. He's played minutes in the high 30s, 35 and over in the last three games, although his performances have been all over the place as well. He was great against Philly with 57 points and then has two games with less than 23 points. So this is all to say, it seems as if the way the Clippers have been running is someone is going to hit their mark. It's just a little unclear who it's going to be. I'd be willing to take a risk on all three of those guys, probably more in tournaments than anything else. Possibly if you think the game stays close, you pair them with Giannis and hope that you get into a little bit of a shootout territory. Or maybe you go, you know, Middleton and one of those three guys, or, you know, Paul, Jordan, Middleton, some kind of combination. I don't need to run through all the different combinations that you can look at there. But I do think that that game has some GPP upside without it being too much value overall. So if you think Paul has broken out of whatever slump he was in, he's solid, if not fantastic play. Like I said, Griffin, Jordan, and then maybe a Giannis, Middleton, who are still coming fairly cheap, though, for their, you know, their expectation. But the Clippers are not a great matchup to face in DFS. They're slow and they're pretty good on defense, so keep that in mind. All right, that's it for us on a big Wednesday in the NBA. 10 games on tap. Some injury news hanging out there, though not a ton. Watch out for those blowouts. I'm from dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Head over, free 3-day trial to our projection system that's providing most of what I'm talking about here. That's free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. Think you will be pleasantly surprised with the results, and you will be able to wrap in NHL and baseball projections all under one projection blanket. You're all good to go. I'll be back again tomorrow with James talking Thursday basketball. Be good, everyone, and good luck tonight.